Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Hi, everybody. Good evening. Well, I say good evening. It's evening here in the UK and a very, very stormy evening down in Devon in the UK. Welcome to another edition of Inside Weeks with the Functional Foodie on the Coach on Fire Network. I'm Jane Hutton, the Functional Foodie. And this show is all about great food and also great health and how we use food for achieving and maintaining vital health. And, of course, on a very, very holistic level that we are physically, mentally and emotionally connected. Food is a big part of that. Today, I've kind of got a bit of a departure going on. So I'm not interviewing somebody directly related to food. I'm interviewing a wonderful lady called Michelle Anita Werther, also known as a soul translator, about the impact of our emotions on our physical and our mental health, and also, you know, on what food choices we might make. So we'll be speaking to her in a second after we've had the foodie focus. And at the end, I will be giving you a fabulous recipe to get you into the kitchen and get you using food for your best health. To call in and ask a question or join the conversation, you can call in the States on 646-716-7979. And if you'd like to find out more about functional food and about my work as the functional foodie, you can visit my recipe course and membership site at www.functional-foodie.com. Targeted health resources. Monthly focuses on issues and also some specialist courses on things like breast cancer recovery and fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue. So there's an awful lot of information there on health and also on good food. So recipes to really get you into the kitchen and cooking, which is what I would really like everybody to be doing. So if you would like to grab for yourself a resource which shows you exactly what an ideal day should look like, including meal plan, recipes and shopping list, you can also get that free when you either join as a member or you subscribe on site at the bottom of the page. So do pop over there and grab that if you'd like to have a look at what lots and lots of delicious food every day really means, because that's what functional food is all about. So let's quickly get on now to our foodie focus for this episode. And I guess what I want to talk about is attitudes to food itself and how you view food. I came across a very interesting issue today talking to a local chef here who's Greek and has a very successful Greek restaurant. And we were talking about a dish called kleftikon, which is one of my favourite dishes, and certainly the dish at his restaurant is absolutely stunning. And it involves lamb, slow-cooked with herbs. And in that cooking process, it produces an awful lot of very, very nutritionally absorbable and, you know, supercharged juices. And he had heard of other chefs, even running restaurants or running Greek restaurants, who actually throw away those juices and use gravy and other things with the meat because that's what people want. And I'm thinking, well, you're actually throwing away nutrition when you do that, because whenever you cook anything, even if you cook vegetables in water rather than steaming, keep that water and put it in soups and casseroles because there's an awful lot of nutrition in it. And it depends on whether you view food as fuel or as nourishment. One of the sayings, actually, that I use more often than anything else is saying, you know, when it comes to food, it's not about calories, it's about nutrients. Don't think about, I shouldn't eat this or I must eat that. Always have a balance. But also think that everything you put in your mouth is actually nourishing the cells in your body, you know, right down to the cellular level, because everything you eat is broken down to its component parts. And your body's trying to extract vitamins and minerals, micronutrients, and things that we haven't even discovered yet. We discover new nutrients all the time. So what I would love to do is encourage people to change their view of food and actually look on it as something that bathes every cell in their body with what those cells are crying out for, you know, making them work, making everything work properly. And we can actually have an emotional attachment to our food, as we know. We talked about it with my first guest, Lisa, and also last week's rewards. We can see it as a treat or a reward when we're stressed. It can come from our childhood, that our parents either made us eat something that we didn't like or rewarded us with something like chocolate. And we carry those habits and we learn our views and our story of food from the minute that we're born. We all have a food story, and I'll be asking Michelle about her food story a little bit later on. So food's a huge part of self-care, and it does have that emotional connection, emotional impact. And sometimes how we feed ourselves is an indication of how we feel about ourselves and how we treat ourselves. So I think it's a really important thing to think about when it comes to how you're feeding yourself. You know, are you nourishing yourself? Are you giving your body what it needs and making those kind of choices? There are things like developing healthy treats. If you have a particular craving or addiction or habit or perception that you need to get over. Lisa Bardell and I, we launched our emotional eating program this week at Finding Freedom. And it's amazing how many people have issues with their confidence and their body image and the addictions they have to certain foods or the cravings they have. And a lot of that actually comes down to mental and emotional causes, which can all be solved with both the nutritional interventions and the mind ones. So you have to really think about how you're feeding yourself, how you're treating yourself, before you're going to actually see if there's any issues that you need to overcome. And they can be overcome easily. But it's a fascinating area, and having this conversation with the chef, whose heart was broken by the fact that all these wonderful, incredible healing broth that was coming out of the lamb while it was being cooked with the vegetables and the herbs was being thrown away in favor of made with additives. Even the gravy wasn't being made properly. And I didn't blame him. So we were both on our soapbox on that score about the fact that what was produced by this cooking was a major part of the nutritional value of the dish. So try and think about everything from now on in that way. You know, how is this meal going to nourish me on not just a physical level, but how am I choosing it for an emotional or mental reason instead? So there, something to think about. And now in a minute, I will introduce you to Michelle. She is an amazing spiritual, I call her a spiritual guru in the lightest sense, in that she is able to really touch on many, many levels of emotional and mental health. Face it, we all aren't just our physical bodies. We are how we feel. How we think has a huge impact on how we feel, and how we feel has a huge impact on how we think. And Michelle has this ability to peel back those layers and get you seeing some connections that have impacts from inside, outside our bodies, actually. Events outside of us, or things, how we perceive the events going on, can have an impact on that as well. She is also a consultant later, and I have actually been lucky enough to have Michelle do soul translation work with me. And she has come up with incredible positions. How, you know, anybody who's remotely skeptical about the fact that we are spiritual beings as well as physical ones needs to actually have a soul conversation with this lady. So on that note, I will introduce her, Michelle. Sorry, I keep calling you Anita, I don't know why. Introduce Michelle and say hi and ask you to introduce yourself.
Hello, Jane. How are you? It is such a pleasure to be on the radio, on your show today. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem at all. It's my pleasure. So perhaps you'd like to tell us a little bit about what you do, because the blurb here is obviously explains an awful lot. And I'm sure that you can Yeah, you know, because you do a lot. And I was saying, I've had small translations. It's an incredible process, especially considering I'm in Devon and you're in Oregon. And yet, yeah, this information came out and it was like, how does she know me? How does she do this? It was very useful for me, even as a businesswoman, and not just sort of fortune telling. This is about actually how you find peace in your life and peace with outside events, and how you're able to make sense of things and actually move forward successfully. And you do a lot of work with businesswomen, don't you, as well, entrepreneurs? So do tell us a little about yourself and what you do.
Well, it's all holistic, isn't it, Jane? I mean, it's, you know, we look at the body, we look at the mind, we look at the spirit, we look at what we're putting into our bodies, we look at, you know, the emotions that we're using and tapping into in our life. It's and also what we create in our daily life and what we're doing for our work and our, you know, soul's expression. So I can't not see it as, you know, other than holistic, because it is all connected. So I guess the simplest way for me to explain what I do is I really help people focus on what their soul purpose is and then how that translates into life choices and also their the business development that they are working on. So I do specialize in working with women entrepreneurs, but also, you know, because it is, of course, you know, holistic, I also work with people that are simply wanting to find some answers in their life, wanting to find some direction, wanting to explore new areas and take some risks and, you know, go kind of follow their bliss. But sometimes, you know, we're wondering, like, what is really my path? What is the best way for me to go? You know, and that the soul translation process ranges from a remote sensing, tuning in like you've experienced, Jane, where, you know, I think that was one of our first contacts together, actually, was when you were, you and I got connected online in this beautiful digital world, and you asked me some questions, and I tuned in, and all of these beautiful symbols came through that actually connected to your life. How this stuff works is still even a mystery to me, but I believe it to be true because, you know, we saw that it was true in your life. We saw that there was actually a translation happening, things that I was seeing that I couldn't have known that, you know, only you knew. So that translation, that's like the deepest dive of it. And then from there, we have we work with tarot and we work with divination. And then I'm extremely practical as well. So how that soul's purpose then translates into the development and of business, of a brand, of program design, and, you know, how you take your service-based purpose-led business ideas and put them out into the world. So it is definitely a full course meal.
Well, I think all of us would agree if we have our own businesses, or even if we're working for somebody else and really keen on that brand, you know, even if you work for somebody else, you have a loyalty to who you're working for, and every single part of the person does translate in how it goes out into the world, from the branding all the way through to the things that are offered. And it's something I think a lot of people do miss, and they don't really think about it, but it's incredibly important. It's incredibly important. But it's what you do is unusual, and it's not the kind of thing that people just sort of fall into. So, you know, what brought you this current career?
Well, so many things. I guess, I mean, I could go back to my childhood, that I was always very empathic, always, you know, as they say, an HSP, highly sensitive person. And I was often picking up on, you know, people's emotions and seeing things for them that maybe they weren't seeing themselves. And just checking in, are you hearing a relay? Are we good?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
All right. All good. It was just echoing back on my end. So, yeah. So I was always an empath, always curious about the kind of the deeper levels of life. You know, it's kind of one of those very wildly creative and also probably slightly strange to some people, that I was, you know, looking at spirituality books and reading, you know, Tibetan Book of the Dead and, you know, very much into existential philosophy and psychology at a young age, because I was sensing things that I just didn't really understand. And then also I had experiences where I would, unfortunately also, you know, be able to have premonitions on things of, you know, people who were things that would come to pass. And so that's really pretty much scared the, you know, bejesus out of me. And I shut it down at an early age. But then I did one way that I was still connected to that more mystical world was through tarot and divination. So I started as a teen, young teenager, playing around with just different rituals, different ways to divine, and was really fascinated by tarot. That led me into psychology. I did a doctorate in clinical psychology, and then decided after working in psychology for a while that I actually did not want to be around the medical model of pathology. I really was more drawn towards the positive psychology side. So that led into coaching, and I was trained as a whole person coach, and that then the next thing led into doing a lot of identity work. I've always been fascinated with how people make meaning and communications between, you know, people, and also communications, how we talk and communicate with ourselves. And really, I guess when it comes down to the most important thing for me is how do we understand ourselves, and then how then do we help other people understand who we are? Because through understanding ourselves and other people understanding us, that's when we feel connected and intimately involved with ourselves and with life. And that's when we feel fulfilled. So I came kind of out of the empathic healer closet a couple years ago and really grasped my intuitive gifts, and have always been bringing them into the coaching and the branding and identity work, and now in the soul translation work.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just going to quickly remind anybody listening, if they want to get involved in this discussion, they can call in on 646-716-7979. Well, I mean, I've certainly seen a development as well, because we've both been part of communities with Star, haven't we, for quite a while.
Yeah.
I've known Star for years. Obviously, she comes from Plymouth, where I am. So,
love
and
Star.
I remember seeing, obviously, your name and so on and so forth, but yeah. But it is quite an extraordinary thing that you do. And what people don't seem to get, I think, enough is obviously not just that what you feed yourself is incredibly, has an impact on your emotions, but actually how you perceive what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about perception, isn't it? It's all about your health in many ways. Yeah. Can rely on how you feel empowered. If you feel helpless, if you feel like a victim all the time, you're going to be stressed, and that's going to, it's a big, big knock-on effect. So what does health mean to you? If I said, well, you know, it's a really broad question, and it's quite an interesting one. If you ask anyone, what does health mean to you? For me, you know, you are what you eat and how you think, to me, but I'd love to know what health actually means to you.
Yeah, you know, again, simplifying it, and you know that I love to play with words. So when I look at the word, it's so much fun. When I look at the word itself, you know, of course, I'm sure you have, you know, noticed this, that it's got the word heal in it. So health to me is ultimately about healing what needs to be attended to, what needs to be addressed. Because maybe something is out of balance. Actually, I think there is always something out of balance, because I also have a biology background. And, you know, when you think about just that life is held in this homeostasis that is constantly adjusting Our bodies are constantly adjusting to temperature and blood flow and food that we're eating. I mean, everything is in a constant state of flux. So we're never truly in a state of balance, but we are in a, potentially we can be, if we're addressing it then that way, where we are in a, we can be in a state of health because we are constantly tending to how we can keep the balance healthy. So to me, health is really about resilience. It's really about having that ability to have choice. You know, you hear all these, horrible stories of when people's bodies start breaking down, whether it's because of their diet and their emotions or things that happen. And usually it's a combination of all of it. The thing that most people will say is they lose their ability to choose. And that health is ultimately the greatest gift that we have. And when you lose that health, you lose your health on that level, you lose your ability to choose what you want to do with your day, your time, your body, your life, what you want to eat. You can no longer eat certain foods because they're, you know, poisoning you, or they're, you have food intolerances. And then you have to alter yourself and change that balance to get back into a state where you can, you know, live in that, the heal part of health. So it's also about enthusiasm for me. And I make a big connection with joy and really feeding yourself on a cellular level and on a cellular level. And we are, you know, as you said earlier, everything is about perception. Well, it's also perception and energy. So we are an energetic being. And whatever I am then giving myself that's going to feed me, it's going to make my cells happy. that's going to give me a sense of enthusiasm that my body is actually enthusiastic to do something or to digest something. That to me is really about being healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's I love the fact that you've seen the word heal in health. It's fantastic. Mm. I do love the way you play with words because you pick these things out, and it's always, you manage to keep on doing it. It's a journey of discovery. And as an ex-English teacher as well, love language. You know, it always makes me laugh when you come up with all these different words.
Words are energy as well. Yeah, their energy as well. Absolutely.
They're absolutely. And when I talked about people having a food, everyone has a food story. And we think of stories as being, you know, something that's written. But actually, how we treat ourselves, our own health, our own diets, our food, everything that we do is a story that we're constantly telling ourselves every day. You know, I can do this. I can cook that. I can do this. I can do that. And it harks back over decades. So I'd love to know what your food story is from childhood and what it means to you, what food means to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can be a bit of a decadent diva, that's for sure.
Surprise.
My food story is, it's a love story. but you know, I have had my times when it has not, it may have been a love story because I loved what I was eating, but it was not necessarily doing well for my body. Generally, I would say I have had the luck of having a European mother who raised me and my siblings with a very healthy, simple, nutritional diet. She was really, like my experience growing up, most of my childhood being in Europe, it was really about the simplicity of food that was to be shared with family. It was an experience. It wasn't just something that fueled your body. And so it was a lot about the combinations, the colors, the textures. So luckily, like I said, I have a healthy relationship with food to the most part. But I also, I can just tell a really quick story here. I also can tend to get very indulgent because I have that love story. with food when I'm going through bigger, harder times, you know, when there's a lot more stress in my life, like I had in 2014, 2015, it was a doozy of a couple of years. Very unexpected things happened and really put me in a state of being very worried about my security, financially, emotionally, many things affected that. And I thickened up. I went to my comfort foods, which were, you know, which are rich foods. I love salt. I love bread. I love cheese. I love red wine. You know, I went to the things that would make me feel safe, because I needed to protect myself. And then my body started showing the layers of that protection. So, you know, I gained about 20 pounds in 2 years of stress weight. And my story would be, I love the sensuality of food, and I love the, having like a very healthy relationship with food to feed me, not only physically, but to feed my senses. But I can definitely dip into indulgence with foods that may be good in smaller portions, but when I just want to not feel, I'll eat the big piece of the big baguette with the cheese with a glass of red wine or two. In those years, it was probably more like three. then my body definitely said, wow, okay, great that you're protecting yourself, but this is not healthy. So
no. Hmm. I mean, I think the thing is, especially for you, like me, it's all about real food and about food. You should enjoy food, you know, having enjoyment of what you eat,
yeah,
is all part of mindful eating. It's all part of nourishing yourself and thinking, well, this is wonderful. I deserve mm-hmm. this because I'm taking care of myself. And sometimes, yeah, you know, I don't advocate, obviously, processed junk food or people being overweight, but sometimes, you know, a slice of cake will do. That's all that will do.
Yep.
Or a cheese, you know, some really good bread and really good cheese and really good wine. There's nothing wrong with that occasionally. But it's when you tip over, isn't it, into sort of using it as to anesthetize a situation or how you feel about something. That's when we have the problem.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And this you know, we can't strive for perfection because that's just a setup. You know, sometimes it's what I see, food is also a beautiful teacher in letting us, you know, cut ourselves some slack and just have a lot of forgiveness and tolerance for those times when, you know, there's this one food in the States, which it's so strange. They're called Cheez-Its. And
I know Cheez-Its.
You know Cheez-Its? Super processed.
Yeah.
You know, they even are glowing orange. But, you know, when I go for something that I just think is going to be a quick comfort food, I will grab those because, you know why? Because they remind me, this is kind of funny, but they remind me of the taste of the burnt cheese at the bottom of the fondue that my mother used to make for us. And they have that, you know, it's a comfort food, but in a horribly processed version. But, you know, but it's like, well, okay, so what? I ate a bag of Cheez-Its, you know, I'll do better next time. But I, you know, give myself some room to just be the imperfect person that I am. You know? So I think
it's all about fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Balance is all. And this is where, you know, very interesting whenever I'm anywhere. And I've done consultations in garages, you know, garage forecourts and supermarkets. Mm-hmm. It's just extraordinary how the minute someone asks you what you do and you say anything about being a nutritionist or anything to do mm-hmm. with health and food, and they're telling you about this, and they're saying, oh, no, and, I'm not telling you what I ate. Or they expect this perfection even from
you. Yeah.
I'm like, well, no, I'm about healthy versions, perhaps of cake and so on, but... You know, sometimes, occasionally, it doesn't matter. People shouldn't. It's another form of people beating themselves up and actually robbing themselves of their own power. Stress is a big one. Huge about how we perceive stressful situations, how we handle stress. And we know that it's, and current statistics put
stress at about 95% as a cause of all, probably all 95% of illness has stress as one of the sort of aggravating factors. So, I mean, I'd love to know how you tackle stressful times. I mean, in the same way that people expect me to be perfect with food, they probably expect you to be zen all the time, and that's just not how it happens, is it?
Yeah, I know. It's funny. It's like, how many times do I get the, you know, well, you know, you should know all the answers. You should know, you know, what's going to happen in your business. You should have all your financial aspects of your business worked out, because, I mean, gosh, if you can translate, then, you know, you ought to be kind of ahead of the curve here. And it's like, wow, well, no, I mean, there's a lot of doctors out there who help people with their health, but, you know, maybe they smoke themselves, you know, like, that's a kind of a funny example, but it is that, like, no, we're all in this together, and we're all on our path and on our journey. And, you know, there is no such thing as perfection. And I also like to think that going back to like the food thing is, it's similar to the soul translation, where it's really not the messenger. It's not the Cheez-Its. It's not the bad food choice. It's the message that you get from it. You know, it's how it helps you connect and make a different choice. And that's what I tell people, you know, with soul translation work, where it's like, it's really what you really need to hear here is the message, and how that's going to serve you and how that's going to help you feel happier and more connected and better. You know, tackling stressful times in my life and business, of course, I'd love to say that, you know, oh, well, that saying where they say, well, when you're going through really stressful times, instead of meditating for half an hour, you should meditate for an hour. And I'd love to say that that's me, you know, but no. You know, it's interesting for me, stressful times, I think because I deal with so much spiritual, because I'm working on so many spiritual levels, and because, you know, a lot of people would look at what I do and say, oh, you know, you're really into the woo-woo stuff and everything. People would expect, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, you must have lots of tricks that you do to help, balance your energy. When I'm stressed, I go really into the simple acts of self-care. It's really about, you know, I'll make myself lay down for half an hour every day and do nothing. It's not about meditating. You know, it's not about doing something. It's just like unplug. I make it a point to also have at least one day a week to where I am completely off digital devices, where I'm not, you know, tuned in into that whole vibe. You know, even have a day that I will, you know, my son and I will just hang out at home and we'll be in pajamas all day. And even if it's sunny out, it's just, what can we do to really completely drop the outside world, or completely drop all obligations, and just let it seriously all go and not do something to try to fix it. Because often spiritual practices can get into that, like, okay, well, I'm going to rebalance my chakras and I'm going to do all of these things, you know, to make myself whole again. And I find often the body simply needs to rest, and the mind and the brain, everything just needs to be unplugged and offline. So that's one of my tricks. I'll just collapse for like half an hour, and it's very simple, but I really need to turn into, I need to turn back to my body and listen to it, instead of trying to do something always to fix things. Because that's a bit of a plague in our society, I think, is that constant, like, I got to make it bigger, I got to make it better. It's like, well, no, actually, maybe you don't need to do anything right now. That's kind of broad, but.
Well, no, so I mean, one of the questions that I wanted to ask you was about, you know, what self-care routines you actually have, because there are times when we realize that we're pushing too hard or doing too much, and you think, actually, no, I just feel really fogged. I'm just going to take a break this afternoon. I'm going to watch I'm just going to catch up on all the my favorite TV series that have been recorded and just watch them one after the other and really get escape or get into a book or whatever else. And there are times that I think you kind of really plan, you sort of like plan a spa day or whatever it is that you do. So I think there's the emergency self-care and there's the sort of planned self-care.
Yeah.
So what do you kind of do when you're planning? Are you a spa lady or do you just prefer to go to the movies with the popcorn or what is it that you like to do to sort of take that time downtime?
Well, on a daily basis or even like on a weekly basis, I actually would like to bring in just a little bit of like a tarot metaphor here, if I may. And great. So in the tarot, there's the two cards of the major arcana. The card number three is the Empress and the card number four is the Emperor. And I like to think of these two as like the king and the queen of how to take care of myself. So the I do a lot of Empress where I'm, you know, the Empress is number three. It's all about creativity, fertility, birthing new ideas, you know, creating just being basically in a really strong, grounded, earthy creation mode. And then the Emperor who comes next is a four. And that is really about building and structure and, you know, a lot about, I for me, it's about that kind of that square, that strong square of self-care that I do. And for me, it's really about my four kind of legs of the table would be the meditation and prayer, doing something on a daily basis, that having a ritual, like in the morning, I will always sit and do my meditation and prayer time. I can't say always. I'm going to actually correct that and be honest and say probably about 90% of the time. And so, you know, having that quiet time every day that I can tune in, having a creative time like that I'm doing something that pushes me on a creative edge every day or every week. I do look at my nutrition very pointedly because it's you know, it's what I'm putting into my glorious body that's housing my soul, that's getting me through, you know, the kind of, as they say, this, you know, the 3D world. And, you know, I really want to make good choices around that because I know how crappy I feel when I don't. And it's just not, it's not worth it to do that on a daily basis, you know, as an indulgence, as a total, you know, kind of let my hair down and not really, you know, tend to anything and just be, you know, footloose and fancy free. But generally that's something that I will be conscious around. And then I do also daily, I'm a very physical person and I need to work my muscles. And so I do every day, except for Sundays, I do a 30 minutes pretty intense drop set muscle training. And I'll have like, you know, my focus of the body part that I'm working on for that day, because, you know, I really like to be physical. I like to be in my body, probably because I'm doing these, like, you know, translations where I'm playing out in the matrix somewhere. And, and so that's really important. So when it comes to just that complete, let me just, you know, not when it's more of an extra kind of affair, it's really, of course, just spending time with friends and going to, I definitely love movies. And, you know, sometimes, like you said, Jane, I will, you know, sit on the couch for three or four, you know, episodes of Merlin or Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries or, you know, something that is just really a rollicky good fun and just lets me kind of enter in another world. So spa days are fantastic. I would take one every day if I could, but there's stuff to get done.
Well, yeah, you're right, there is. Firstly, before I'm just jumping again with the phone number for anyone who wants to call in, 646-716-7979. Do you know what? You're just mentioning the same programs that are kind of over here. And I think, are you talking about Merlin, the British series? Or,
yeah.
Because I think, yeah. So I'm thinking, oh, those are the same things that are on here. We're different continents. It's fabulous, isn't it? Yeah. Same taste.
Yeah.
apart from, you know, for me, it's things like anything that's really eclectic, from The Hundred to The Walking Dead and, you know, the zombies all the way up to a good rollicking kind of fantasy series. I certainly don't really do the chick flicks, and I don't really do necessarily anything too thriller-like. But, yeah, mm-hmm. lose yourself in always, isn't it? And just to escapism, definitely. No, that's really interesting. But, you know, as a coach, you're coaching people. Potentially, they're coming to you with a question. Mm-hmm. And it could be about branding. It could be about, it could be for soul translation. It could be for anything. So mm-hmm. do you ever pick up issues to do with health and with, I mean, how do you advise your clients holistically? Because somebody might come to you because they're really, really sort of unhappy with something. But that mm-hmm. does spider out into other areas of your life, because we know that how you perceive, how you yourself with food, with self-care, with all of these things, they're all connected, aren't they? So what you're doing is actually advising people on a very holistic level with their health, aren't you?
Certainly. And also in the soul translation sessions, when, you know, people give me permission to, I also do remote what I call like energy amending. So I will be able to work with them on that energetic level, which of course it's, you know, it's kind of hard to describe. It's kind of like chocolate. It's something you gotta taste in order to really know what it's like, you know. But if I do see things, if I have the prior permission, if I do see things in the soul translation that need, their energy needs to be amended, then I will work with that on the remote level. So that's about as holistic as it gets. But yeah, you know, I really believe that soul listening, when we're doing it for ourselves, or when somebody is, you know, being like a mediator, like in the work that I do, it's the kind of the ultimate holistic act, ultimate kind of holistic relationship we can have with ourselves. And it's a lot of people, it is sad to me, because a lot of people feel that they can't access that part of them, that somehow, you know, it's elusive, or that it's not available to them. And, you know, really, I mean, even though I might translate, to me, it's the most important thing is to help people, like you were saying, you know, it's like, no, actually, I want to help you learn how to listen and tune in and translate for yourself through all the different ways that can show up, so that you can really honor yourself and respect yourself, you know, and be in awe of who you are, and be in awe of what you are not only doing. And if it's something that you don't like, yes, it needs to change, because it has a, you know, it has a detrimental effect to us. It's like we know when we're not in alignment. We know when we're not doing what we really want to be doing. And purpose and calling and all of those things are very important. That's kind of, you know, nice words to put on top of I call it just spiritual common sense. You know, if our bodies are pushing against us, if our emotions are, you know, feeling all wackadoodle, if we are just not, if we're not happy, if we're not feeling like we're content and even thriving in the things in our life and in our relationships and in our work, then we have some work to do, and we need to tune in and listen and you know, get in touch with who we are in our heart, and then have the courage to step into that and make some changes, take some risks, and you know, support our souls in that way. And you know, you've never heard anybody who has taken care of their health through food, who has taken care of their life through coaching, or who has developed a business that they, you know, really just, you know, fed them on a soul level, and that they helped other people with it. You've never heard them turn around and say, "Ah, I regret doing that," you know?
No, very true. You don't.
You don't. It's not like, "Oh, well, that wasn't a really good choice."
Yeah, I was like, I spent all that time and energy and, you know, really went through those, you know, trying times for me to really ask the right questions and tune in. And I created all these changes and, oh, my God, it, you know, it really wasn't worth it.
Well, there's a very famous quote, isn't there, that I can't remember who said it, but they say millionaires don't use astrology, billionaires do.
Yeah.
And that's
really
on the same level. And, you know, I know some very, very high-powered CEOs, and they have coaches and mentors. And sometimes, you know, the really successful people do have somebody to bounce ideas off, because nobody's that sorted that they can always see the way forward. And I think any investment in yourself is always a good one. And what's interesting is that some very, very worldly powerful CEOs have spiritual mentors and coaches and use things like astrology and have astrologers. Fantastic,
yeah.
I think. Because, hey, you know, there's more in heaven and earth than we can know. And if people who are that successful are doing it, it's got to be good, hasn't it? So,
we're not alone in all of this.
Well, yeah, quite. I was going to ask you before we sign off, what your top tips are for the people out there for staying then on life's roller coaster, because it is a roller coaster and we can enjoy the ride, but if you're going to actually stay really zen in your seat and not want to throw up, there's probably some top tips on how to do that, and you're going to be the lady to give them to us. So what do you reckon?
Throw your hands up and enjoy the ride. Was that George Carlin? He had that great quote where he said, you know, it's not about landing in the, landing in the grave in a well-preserved body. It's just, you know, skidding in, sliding in sideways and landing, you know, and saying, whoa, that was a great ride. you know, I think, you know, but there is a lot to that, because we can all take ourselves so morbidly seriously. And, you know, I think it is more about tapping into that joy, doing what feels good, not as an irresponsibility, not like, okay, well, I'm going to just eat all of this, you know, cake because it makes me feel good. It's like, no, you're actually not going to feel that good if you do that. But maybe if you allow yourself, you know, give yourself one slice and savor every single bite of it and let it be food for your soul, you know, then that's fantastic. So enjoying the ride and really also knowing that it really is temporary, you know, like going back to like our original, what we were started saying in the beginning about what health is, it's like everything is in flux and we don't need to get too attached to things staying the same way because they're going to change, because that's the nature of life. So when you feel down, know that, you know, you're going to get back up. If you're on your knees, you will get back up, but you do need to make that choice. And believe in yourself and let go of the story that says, well, I can't get back up. You know, it's a daily basis practice of being alive that, we're all just doing our best. So really cutting ourselves some slack and enjoying and, letting our souls play a lot more.
And taking the pressure off, probably.
Yeah, you know, we're here to discover and enjoy ourselves and be connected to our souls and be connected to all the other, you know, beautiful beings, you know, human and animal, that are on this amazing planet that we live on. So yes, we do need to be responsible, but our responsibility is really about being in touch with our hearts and living from our golden hearts and living from our souls and also creating awesome lives for ourselves. It's all of it, you know, it goes from the soul, like all the way full spectrum to your bank account, to what you're feeding your body, to everything. And, you know, we don't have to be perfect at any of it, but we do need to make the choice to show up.
Definitely. So, very, very wise words. Very wise words, as I knew they would be. Perhaps you could definitely enlighten the lovely people listening. And of course, anyone listening to the replay, because this will be in a permanent replay, so you'll be permanently embedded within Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. So,
that's one thing that won't change. I'm permanently embedded.
Permanently embedded. How do people get in touch with you if they want to find out more about what you do, or they would like any coaching or soul translation, which I, by the way, highly recommend. Awesome. How do people get in touch with you?
Well, you can always find me on Facebook at Michelle Anita Huerta, and also at my website, which is www.thesoultranslator.com. It is currently under construction, but of course you can put your information in, and I will be having a fun course that's going to be coming up, going to be put on there, probably a free course for a Shiro's Journey Project Planner little program that's going to be up there soon. So those are great ways. And then also, of course, you can email me at support@thesoultranslator.com and we can chat.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And yes, once again, it's an awesome experience. And thank you so much for spending the time enlightening us with so much amazing information. And hopefully that made people sort of think about being more at one with themselves and the world, because that's all we hope for, isn't it? And
we talked a lot about emotions, and just one last thing I wanted to add to that is that, you know, emotions, playing again on words, in Latin means to flow. And that is our energy, is more, you know, is to flow with our emotions and to not, you know, get things stuck. And that's how things move. So it's really it's important to flow strongly and well.
To go with the flow, which is actually a very easy thing once you've learned how to do it. And sometimes it can actually take a bit of time and training and effort to learn how to let go. And I think that's one of the most important things anyone can do, is it's learn how to let go and just and go with the flow. People are incredibly easy. Actually, you know, it's not. It's really not. If anybody wants to learn how to go with the flow, get in touch with Michelle. So thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate it. And obviously we'll talk on Facebook later.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Jane. It's been real soul food talking with you.
Have a great day.
Okay, love. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And there we had Michelle. Wow, what a fabulous near hour of fantastic advice. And I love her views on health and how we are beings on so many different levels that all combine to how we see ourselves in the world. It's a really, really valuable practice to sort of think about the elements we've talked about, bringing self-care in, really nourishing yourself, not just with food, but with relaxation, and considering how you're perceiving events rather than actually being in the grip of things. And even just those two or three little tweaks that you can make will have a big, big impact on your life. Before I go now, we're going to talk a little bit more about self-care and nourishment with the recipe. It's not so much a recipe this time. It's a very, very basic thing, which I think in America is called bone broth. In the UK, we call it stock. In Europe, we call it stock. And that harks back to the chef and the juices that I was talking about at the beginning of the show. One of the most nourishing things that you can do is to make your own bone broth, your own stock. It's very, very simple to do. And it's basically just boiling up bones, simmering. Well, not boiling, because you don't want to boil. The nutrients don't like it very much. You basically simmer bones, whether they're bones you have from a meal or whether they, butchers generally have bones, or supermarkets, or when they've actually taken meat off and put them on display. So you can normally get bones very, very cheaply. And you put them in a big pot with things like bay leaves and peppercorns, and cover with cold water and bring up to a very low simmer and simmer for a long time. We're talking ideally between 12 and 24 hours. And then strain after that, take all the vegetables and bits and pieces out. You know, you put some onions in, put some carrots in, extract all that goodness, let it cool once you've strained it, and then you can take any fat off the top because the bone marrow will have had a fatty component that will come and sort of harden on the top. And then put it in bags to freeze, take it out to use for soups and stews, or even just to have a mugful if you're feeling really ill. It's the most nourishing thing. Fantastic for immunity. Brilliant if you need to get more calcium as well, if you can't eat dairy. And a lot of people are lactose intolerant and perhaps have an issue with dairy. So bone broth is a fantastic thing to have because it gives you that calcium. The recipe, you can get the recipe on the blog at www.functional-foodie.com, or it's on my Facebook page. So whichever recipe I do in my episodes, and on the page. So go and have a go at that. Get it frozen. Your health will definitely thank you for it. So I hope you've enjoyed the show with our amazing Michelle. And I'll look forward to speaking to you all again in 2 weeks' time, where I hope to have yet another amazing guest to talk to us about their views on food and on holistic health. So until then, take care, nourish yourself, look after yourself, and I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks.